gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub.
All right, just ahead of Pierre Maguire, one more time, the Metallica question again. What do they have in common with Bill Lee? Well, William Francis Lee III was born in Los Angeles. Metallica was born in Los Angeles, and they're based in San Rafael, California, where Bill has a home as well, his late dad's home in San Rafael, California. First one through with the right answer wins tickets to Metallica at Parc Jean-Drapeau Wednesday night, July the 19th, 6 p.m.
Our winner today was Bruce Stamm from Greenfield Park.
We'll be giving away Metallica tickets every day the rest of the week on Melnick in the Afternoon. Here comes Pierre.
Hey, Costa. What's in the Dagwood's Greek chicken sandwich?
Oh, salata, domata, cremidi, alias feta, tzatziki.
Sounds Greek to me. Can you say that in English?
Eh, sure. Salata, domata, cremidi, alias feta, tzatziki.
Ooh, sounds authentic and delicious. It must be Greek.
It's Greek.
It's the sauce. It's the place.
It's the smile.
It's the wow.
It's the Dagwood's taste.
The Dagwood's Greek chicken sandwich is delicious.
You know, it's Greek.
Ric Flair said, to be the man, you have to beat the man. Legendary Sports Talk. Melnick in the Afternoon. TSN 690.
He's not coming to play there.
Why not?
Well, taxes are part of it. He's a West Coast guy. He's from Vancouver. Played for the Calgary Hitmen. It's all. This is how you create marketplace.
You know, I think that the organization is willing to do anything and everything to help us achieve the goal. And just thinking about the possibility of winning with the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, it just puts a smile on your face. It makes me laugh just imagining how crazy things would be.
Welcome back. It is hour number three on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick. Rod Francis is back. Sean Campbell's in for Mitch Gallo, who is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. That was Pierre Maguire last week when we first mentioned the possibility of Carl Alsner as a free agent. And, of course, Carl Alsner is part of a conference call after the story broke on free agency Saturday, Canada Day, by Aaron Ward.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
They're up against it big. I've been warning you.
That's the wrong one. Hello there, Pierre. How you doing?
Well, I'll just go to what I said. I'm doing great, by the way, Mitch. Go to what I said when free agents frenzy started on Saturday afternoon. I got that one totally wrong, and mea culpa right away. That being said, that's a great get. You got a really good person. I will say this, and I think his representatives would probably tell you the same thing. The Canadiens had the best offer out there. The market went dry. The market went big time dry on those kinds of players.
Well, in fact, that on Saturday, he was the only guy signed to a 5-year deal.
Yeah, on Saturday, absolutely. The market went completely dry, and you saw some reasonable deals. And then everything changed on Sunday.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. Here was Pierre.
And Monday.
Here was Pierre signing off on Friday. We thought it was the sign.
I would tell you that if something significant happens in the next 48 hours, it would be a pleasure to come on the air with you Monday. How's that?
No, but I don't want to disturb you. I mean, I understand. you're done.
I think we've been good enough friends for long enough, almost 30 years now. I don't think you'd be disturbing me.
All right. So, as promised, Pierre is with us one more time. Really appreciate that. And just what a lot of people want to know is why you, and you outlined some of the reasons there, but why were you so convinced that Alsner wouldn't end up signing here?
Because I thought significant teams in the West that had legitimate chances to win, maybe better chances to win than what Montreal has, would make more firm offers. And those never materialized, not to the level that the Canadiens offer materialized, not a chance. And so clearly the Canadiens put major stock into Carl. He's a tremendous person. He's a very good player. I've told you that a million times. It had nothing to do with his playing ability. I thought his availability would become more of a thing around the league. It did not. It just, for whatever reason.
There would be more of a bidding war for him.
Oh, I thought that's why I thought this was all played out in Montreal to use the Canadiens to try to get more money somewhere else.
Yeah. So what did happen? And again, more significant developments coming here. But so was this general managers just looking at more recent long-term contracts and going, we ought to slow down, or what?
Well, you on Carl or just everybody?
Generally?
Generally, I think probably this. I think everybody knew, just like this draft wasn't overly strong. I think everybody knew this free agent class wasn't overly strong. I mean, everybody focused on Kevin Shattenkirk, and when you look at it, Kevin is a nice player. He is. He's a very nice player. But if you look at where he played, let's just do his last two stops. St. Louis, he was playing in the 5-6 hole behind on the right side, anyways, behind Petrangelo and Parayko, and in Washington, he was playing behind John Carlson. He was playing behind Matti Niskanen. He was in the 5-6 hole again. The only specialist thing that he does is run a power play, and he runs it well. But he was the number one guy on everybody's list in terms of availability. And even I said it on the show, he gave New York a discount. He signed for 4 years. He gave him a hometown discount because he's from here.
Right. Okay, so that's the Alzner sign. So then the attention shifts to who's going to be Shea Weber's partner, waiting on Markov, still waiting on Markov. And Alexander Radulov, there was a tug of war between Dallas and Montreal. And as you know today, with virtually the same offer, different value because of location, he signs with Dallas.
You're not going to win that tug of war. It's what I was worried about with Alzner. I really thought there were going to be far more offers that were going to be more lucrative only because of taxation issues. They never materialize. That's why, you know, I have to have the mea culpa on him. But in terms of Radulov, once he went to market, that was going to be tough. That was going to be tough. And you asked me if I thought he was worth 8 years. I said no. You asked me, would you go to five? I said yes, but I really wouldn't be in a rush to do that. It would be more like four. He comes in right about where most people thought financially, and it's a lot more for him just because of the taxation issues down in Texas. There's no taxes in that state, and the cost of living is extremely low.
Before we get to the Hab side of it, how do you see him working out with Kenny Hitchcock?
Well, Tarasenko really never had a problem with Hitchcock, and Tarasenko and Radulov are virtually the same type of players. One's a little bit older, obviously, in Radulov compared to Tarasenko. As long as he scores, that's going to be a good team, by the way. I think one of the under-the-radar things that happened to them in Dallas was getting Martin Hansel. That's not even being brought up anywhere because he's a Hitchcock kind of guy, kind of player, and I'm sure Hitchcock talked to Brent Sutter, who coached him in Red Deer, and maybe even Davey Tippett. But, you know, that's going to kind of solidify their defensive matchup situations that Hitchcock likes to present. And so I think that's going to help a player like Radulov, and they'll turn him loose. I can't see him not playing with probably Sagan, Ben.
Right.
I would say that would probably be the line right now, but, I mean, that things can change because of injury. But if you have a line of Radulov, Ben, and Sagan, that could be one of the most dominant lines in the league, and Hitchcock's not going to mess with that.
So if you're Radulov, and obviously bottom line is usually the number one factor, but also who you're going to play with. And if he's asking the Canadiens, who's my centerman, and, you know, based on their roster, you can't really say who their centerman is going to be. How much of a factor do you think that goes into it, to play with two of the best forwards in the NHL?
Well, it could. I mean, it could have. I don't know. I still think, to be fair to the Canadiens, I think the Montreal Canadiens went out really hunting. They had their hunting boots on, and they went out hunting, and I think they had a hard time getting guys convinced to come to Montreal for whatever reason. They tried. I think Montreal deserves credit. I think really believe, behind the scenes, what I'm hearing, they tried their butts off to get some things to go, and they just couldn't get guys to want to come.
Sean.
You were talking about Dallas, Pierre, and just with them bringing in Alex Radulov, it makes them a little bit tighter with a couple RFAs that they have to sign. And Brett Ritchie and Radek Faska, if they had to choose between those two players and maybe have to move someone like Capitals had to move Johansson, who do you think that they would move?
That's a hard one to say. I'm a big Faska fan. I think he's actually really he's really starting to get into his own comfort zone in the league. Brett Ritchie's a nice player. I don't know, you know, how you measure it up between the two of them. That's probably going to be for Ken Hitchcock more than anything else. But I would say this, Foxy can play 5-on-5. He can play in the power play. He can kill penalties. He can take faceoffs. He's really a multidimensional player. And I just think he's starting to scratch the surface. I really do. So if you ask me, personally, I'd prefer to keep him if they had to do something in a trade. I can tell you the Devils were over the moon excited about getting Marcus Johansson. They didn't give up a body from their roster. They still want to continue to try to build offense. They got Taylor Hall last year. They think Pavel Zak is ready to take another step. They haven't had to trade Adam Henrique. I mean, there's a lot of things that have gone on with New Jersey that have made them better, too. And Marcus is coming off, by the way, an amazing year.
His best year.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenally good. He's only 26. He's not an old player. And he's still got 2 years left on his deal. So I know Ray Sherrill is really, really excited to have added him.
So, Pierre, as we kick this around off the top, as we talk about how the Canadiens go about trying to replace Radulov's offense, it's back to New Jersey for Sean Campbell.
Yeah. What's happening with Ilya Kovalchuk? Is that a direction the Canadiens can go to try and fill the Radulov void?
That's something that Mark Bergevin is going to have to figure out with his people in terms of just where Ilya is right now. Ilya is not a center iceman. He's a winger. So that's another thing. I mean, you talk about trying to manufacture opportunities or getting people that can. You know, he's a winger. He's a pure winger. He's not a
But that's man. That's where Radulov is. And you were lukewarm to this when I asked you last week.
Yep.
Why?
Just friends of mine that work and watch those games a lot over there. I haven't seen him play live. Obviously, I've seen him on tape, but I haven't seen him play live. But if you're there live watching, you get a better feel. And the people that I trust that watch him just think that he's not as good as he now as when he left. And that would make sense considering it's 4 years down the road.
Okay. Rod?
When you're in negotiation mode, how open are you with the other, with the players' camp, the players' representatives, and you're trying to explain to him why you're not willing to go the extra year? How open are you when you know in the back of your mind it's very possible he could be landing somewhere else?
Depends on the relationship you have with the agent. That's a big part of it. Some agents and managers have really acrimonious relationships, and other agents and general managers have tremendously faithful and strong and positive. I'll give you an example. Jimmy Rutherford, when he was in Carolina and when he's been in Pittsburgh now, has a tremendous relationship with the Orr Hockey Group. Amazing. So he can say anything he wants at any time to Ricky Kern, to Jeff Jackson, to Bobby Orr, because they've got an amazingly strong, fruitful relationship. Donnie Meehan can go around the league because he's just such a veteran man, and I guarantee you he could have any kind of conversation he wants with Stan Bowman. It wouldn't be a problem because they've got a very strong relationship. So it depends on the relationship you have, I think, with the agent. Some guys don't have a bad relationship with anybody, and they can talk any way you want. Other guys have these acrimonious relationships, and it becomes a problem.
And in some cases, or one specific case...
Mark, just going back to Markov, I'm not sure how many times this has happened during your tenure here or even in Chicago, but when you're negotiating with the player directly and not with the agent, how different is that, and how much more difficult is that?
It's different, but I have a relationship. It's hard to believe I'm going to say that, but I have a relationship with Marky, probably the same as you do. He's a nice man.
A man of few words. Joey Alfieri asking that question yesterday. So
what's interesting about that? Andre really is a man of few words, but when he's warm on something, and you know when he's cold on something. You just know when you've been around him and you've seen him or had a chance to visit with him. He kind of tells you, I don't like this or I do like this. I'll tell you who it's a lot alike. It's a lot alike... Alexei Kovalev. Mm-hmm. You know what he liked and you know what he didn't like. He was really, there was no gray. It's either black or white.
So,
with Markov.
Do you think the Canadiens move as a result of losing Radulov so they don't lose Markov as well? Or it's enough? Like, we don't know what their offer is. There's been reports that we know that Markov's looking for 2 years. I don't think the Canadiens are against locking him up for another 2 years, but obviously it's the money in the second year.
Yeah, I think that's right on. I don't know enough about the negotiation. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody involved in it, whether it be Andre or whether it be Mark.
Sean, sorry?
Yeah, I'm just curious on the whole Markov thing, because I do think that he wants to be in Montreal. But with this now on July 3rd and he's out there, what teams would be knocking on the door for Andre Markov? Because economically, it still has to be a fit. It's very limited to what teams can come knocking on his door right now.
I agree. I think that's a good point. But it depends on whether he's prepared. You know, the one thing that's, again, Radulov speaks to this, going to a no-tax state. What no-tax states are out there? Tennessee's out there. Nevada's out there. Texas is out there. Florida's out there. Florida's got two teams. Tennessee's got one. Texas has one. Nevada's got one. So there's teams out there that are no-tax places. I think that I'll give you an example. I don't know whether Tampa Bay's talked to him or not. I don't know if they have. But I'll tell you one thing. Tampa Bay's going to be a really good team.
Yeah, but they got a deal.
Markov.
But they got a.
Pardon me?
No, I'm sorry, Pierre, but they've got Johnson and Palat to
resign. Yeah, I know they do, but they got other ways they can go. They've got other assets. They got. I'll give you an example. They disposed of Jason Garrison.
Right.
Most people thought there was no way that was happening. I can tell you. I mean, I had NHL general managers tell me he stuck with them.
How about L.A.?
Of the contract.
Los Angeles?
That,
for Markov?
Again, if you're. Let's put it this way. If you're him and you spent your whole life playing in Montreal, your whole professional life playing in Montreal, and you go to California, then you're talking about the taxation issues are almost the same. Cost of living is probably higher in California. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a money thing. I don't know if it's a respect thing. That's where I just don't know. If I knew more about how he was looking at this, then I could tell you. But I got to believe a player like that that really takes pride in winning, I think a lot of the questions have to come down to, you know, does a team have a legitimate chance to win or not?
When you say final offer publicly, as Bergevin did.
Well, when you do it publicly, you better not back off of that. Because that's almost like saying politically, and again, I'm not going to say whether it's pro or con. If you say there's a red line drawn in the sand and you better not cross it, if you say it's my last final offer publicly, you better stick to that, because if not, people are going to use it against you down the road.
I will not raise taxes.
That same type of thing.
Yeah.
Read my lips.
That's the one, right?
Correct.
Okay, this guy here.
I didn't talk to him today, but I talked to him briefly, like, you know, last year when we played in the World Cup and stuff like that. So I talked to a few guys about Montreal, so I kind of know what to expect. And, you know, it's a hell of a city, hockey city. Everybody knows that, how Montreal is.
So, like several veterans who are in their 30s over the weekend, Alex Hemsky signs a one-year deal here for $1 million. He suffered a torn labrum in his hip in the World Cup last year, played just 15 games.
Yeah, no, I've known Alex a long time since he played for Gatineau. It was Hull back then, the Hull Olympic. He just missed playing for Claude Julien by 1 year, by the way, in Hull, where Claude was such a good coach. Alex, his glory days, there were probably three straight years in the mid-2000s where he was awesome. He had two great years in Edmonton, and he was the playoff MVP and part of beats in the Czech Republic during the nuclear winter. He almost died, believe it or not, right after that game. He got stabbed. If you ever meet him, Mitch, and I'm sure you will at some point, or Sean or Rod, you'll see terrible scarring on his neck. He got stabbed in a bar fight after the, and wasn't even a fight. He was an innocent victim. He almost died right in the bar. He almost bled out right on the floor. He got stabbed with a broken beer bottle, right in the neck. And the Oilers had to get him back. So there's a little story for people to do a little follow up on the media side of it if they want an interesting human interest story. He's a great person. Alex Hemsky's a great person. I saw the Canadians signed him, and I couldn't have been happier, because he was one of those guys coming out of the World Cup, obviously with an injury. He felt terrible for him. He's never achieved offensively to the point he should have. He should have been a 30-goal scorer in the league. I don't think he ever scored 25. I think he was close a couple times. I don't think he ever scored 25. But he's a fantastic person. I'm telling you, he will never cause a problem in your dressing room, not one.
It's been interesting to see how GMs have adjusted their tactics since the cap came in, Pierre. I mean, we've seen backloaded deals to spread the contract average out, right? We saw 6 or 7 years ago, everyone had a no move or a no trade, and finally that seemed to stop. And now, with the possible 2020 stoppage, it's all about
signing
bonuses. Yeah. That's right.
These guys can't help themselves. They get talked into hot ovens by really smart guys that are brilliant. They really are. The agents representing the players are brilliant guys. They're trained professional negotiators. They really, then they're really good at it. And they smile at you more times than not the whole time. Yeah.
I want to finish with Carey Price, but before I get there, what'd you make of the depth moves, Peter Holland and Joe Morrow specifically?
Well, Claude would know Joe. Joe's an up and down player. Decision making is the only thing that holds him back. Joe has a skill set to be a top four guy, but he isn't a top four guy because of his decision making. It's just something he's always had going back to when he played for Portland in the Western Hockey League. He's been moved around a lot. For a guy that's got the skill level that he has, he can skate, he can handle a puck, but you'll see the decision making is a flaw of his, and that's what gets him into trouble. But he's a good depth player. Peter Holland, never once as a pro has ever gotten close to where he was with the Guelph Storm in the Ontario Hockey League. He was a really good junior player. He was an outstanding, dominant offensive junior player. He's a depth player in an NHL situation. That's what he is.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, level of surprise that Patrick Marleau signs a 3-year deal with the Maple Leafs?
Not. I think, I thought that would be one of the sound bites you would play because I brought it up to you last week. I got the Alzner thing completely bamboozled and wrong, and I admitted it right away on national TV, and I should have because that was shocking to me. But Marleau I was not surprised by because of the relationship with Babcock and the fact that he played for Babcock in Vancouver, which was an emotional time for Mike, and in Sochi, which wasn't as emotional, and really Canada was the best team by a mile there. It wasn't even close. But Patty's just – I was surprised that he left San Jose, knowing his wife is from there. He's really deeply entrenched in the community there. But I also know that I think he realizes that maybe the window's closed there, and this is going to give him an unbelievable opportunity to win. Toronto's an up-and-coming team. Everybody knows it. Even if you hate the Leafs, everybody has to admit Toronto's an up-and-coming team.
Here was Pierre last week.
See, I could see Patrick Marleau ending up in Toronto.
All right, that's just a little far. Just to be fair.
Right?
Yeah, just to be fair. And what this seems to have come down to watching from 3,000 miles away, and everybody loves Joe Thornton back for another year at $8 million. He's choosing Austin Matthews right now, right?
Well, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner. See, here's how much I covet center icemen, and you look at with Austin, with Tyler Bozak, with Nazem Kadri, and now Dominic Moore, you're getting close to the Pittsburgh model. You're not perfectly there yet because, obviously, I think Kadri can be Bonino plus because he's got more offense than Nicky does, and he skates better than Nicky. Dominic Moore can be Matt Cullen, but he can't give you the same offense as Matt Cullen. Austin Matthews can be in that Crosby, Malkin range. He's not there yet, but he's getting darn close. So Bozak's going to have to be that filler part, but what they have with William Nylander and Mitch Marner, they've got guys that can kind of eat up that deficiency they may have in the two-hole. So that makes them a little bit more lethal. And that's one of the things that I think people like about Toronto when they choose to go there.
Final one from Sean.
Well, I know you want to go to Carey Price and the 8-year deal that he gets at $10.5 million. Is that just a straight-up question? Is that too much to pay a goaltender nowadays?
Not him. I mean, you look at... This is. I left the show at TSN on Saturday afternoon late thinking that the next most important decision for Montreal, not knowing whether they were in full-on negotiations or not, you had to think they were, but I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. I'm sure they were, but you didn't know, would be whether Carey Price would like the direction the Canadiens were going in. And I said that. It was the most important decision Montreal is facing, and they handled it well. What people need to understand is that the way it goes out, the dollars, I think it's well done. I don't have an issue with what Montreal did. He's their most important player. He really is. Now, they say, and I take them at their word, that the doctors have given him a clean, bill of health and that the knee situation shouldn't be an issue going forward. We'll see. But he's your most important asset. If he left, what would the people be saying today? All the goodwill that was built up with the Drouin deal would be flushed right out the window.
Yeah. Well, it's and also what I find interesting, perusing, of course, since the news came out, some of the same people who are still angry and will always be angry about the PK Subban trade seem so upset giving the franchise player 10.5, but didn't say boo when PK got $9 million.
Well, that's
it seems to be a double standard out there.
For the team, I'm with you 100%. If he left just imagine what people would be saying. Oh, they're inept. They can't get it done. He doesn't like the direction of their team. These are huge decisions. It's not just about winning and losing. It's about keeping the respect and the quality of your brand. Carey Price is the brand of the Montreal Canadiens right now. I'm sure people are thrilled to death that Jonathan Drouin is there, but he hadn't scored a goal yet for the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price is the guy that can deliver. He can. We'll see whether Jonathan can deliver or not. There's still a lot of things that the team has to fix.
All right, I want to finish up there in just a second. We did speak to Stefan Waite 2 hours ago on the show.
I'm not worried with Carey because I know him so well. He takes care of his body so... That's very impressive. Every day, everything he's doing on a preventive treatment, every day, workout every day, stretch every day, he's very impressive.
Okay, so let's...
First of all, that man's a pro. He's as good as there is in the league, talking about Stefan Waite. And I told you, he was the best free agent Mark Bergevin's first year that he could have gotten, and he did. Because Chicago wanted to keep him, but they couldn't pay him what... Obviously, Montreal did. They just wanted to go in a different direction. So you're talking to one of the ultimate guys in the league in Stefan Waite. He's really good.
So, Pierre, if you were asking legitimately who's going to get Jonathan Drouin on the puck, with Max Pacioretty on the left side, he wasn't a center, but Radulov was the playmaker who got Max Pacioretty the puck. So who is going to get the puck to Jonathan Drouin and Max Pacioretty?
Well, I don't know. You have a guy there, but they don't want to play him at center. So I'm talked out on it, man. Yeah. I love you to death, but I'm not going to go down this road again. If you they I didn't take Galchenyuk at 3. They did.
Yep.
I can tell you, I went through all the interviews with the ownership there that year. That was the year. That was the year that they took Galchenyuk at 3. They took him at 3. I didn't. So you have to tell me what went wrong, because I don't know. They believed in him.
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that unless something very dramatic goes down, he'll be back in the middle by default at this point.
Well, you would think, but again, listen, I'm just going to – this is one other thing. I just want to get it out there. You've got coaches around the league that don't always get finished products. You don't get perfect players. It's just the reality of it. Not every player coming out of junior is perfect. In fact, most of them aren't. They have 3 or 4 or 5 different deficiencies. That's the reality of it. Remember when Max Pacioretty didn't want to play in Montreal for Jacques Martin?
He didn't want to be a fourth liner for Jacques Martin.
Correct.
Yeah.
So every player's got deficiencies. The coach's responsibility is to make sure those deficiencies go away. If every player was perfect, we wouldn't need coaches.
So, not just the players who make the big bucks, the coaches who make the big bucks earn it.
You know that I hear these sometimes. Sometimes I hear it from. I'll give you an example. It's pretty good. I won't give you the names of the people. I'll have a coach say to me when I spend time with him at the rink, "This guy stinks. This guy's no good. This guy can't." So he's just crushing the player, and he's just airing it out because he wants to, and he knows I'm never going to rat him out. I'm not going to rat him out. So I get it. That's great. I feel good that they want to share that information from time to time. And then later on in the day when I'm at the rink having a cup of coffee and going over what I want to go over for the game with my tape guys, the GM might come by, and we'll talk, and he goes, "My coach won't help this guy get better. Like, what do I do with the guy?" So you're stuck in the middle because the coach thinks the player stinks, the GM thinks the player's good, and he thinks the coach isn't doing anything to make the player better.
What a tough life you have being stuck in the middle with everybody, huh?
It's fun. It's awesome.
Hey, thanks for coming back on today. Greatly appreciate it. I know you would. Yeah.
And you know what else? If there's more breaking news, you can always call me.
All right. In the meantime, enjoy
the
summer.
You won't be able to reach me, I think, even though phones work there. I'm taking my family on a very long trip at the end of July until the 11th of August. So we're going for like 12 days.
You're leaving the continent?
I wouldn't say the kind of, in a weird kind of way, yes.
Where are you? Are you going to Cuba?
No. Too hot.
Yeah, Rod just traveled all over our beautiful country.
Rod was waxing poetic about Western Canada. He'd never been there before.
No, in Vancouver specifically, the combination of natural beauty, and modernity is quite something.
You know what's amazing? A great story about Vancouver and the Montreal Canadiens. I'll leave you on this. Jacques Laperriere is a good friend, and at that time in the league, he was coaching, and I had coached his son, Danielle, who went on to play in the NHL and now scouts for Colorado. And so I knew Jacques really well. I saw him about two or three days after the Canadiens had played in Vancouver, and I go, "How you doing?" He goes, "Oh, really tired." I go, "What happened?" He goes, "I went on a run in downtown Vancouver, and I took the wrong turn. And I ended up running for like 2.5 hours trying to get back to the hotel."
Did he find himself in Stanley Park or
yeah,
by the jogging area?
Stanley Park, exactly right. Montreal Canadian tie-in on that.
Great year again, Pierre. Thanks for everything, and enjoy the time off with your family.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. I really appreciate it. And like I said to you, I'll be up at Tromla. Did you get my text, by the way?
Do you mind if I read it?
No, go ahead.
All right. So Friday night was a Bob Dylan concert here at the Bell Center, and I went to bed late. Normally, I'm up between 7 and 8 these days, but I slept in. And when I did wake up before 10, I saw a text from Pierre. "Sounds like Montreal is going to get Olsner. Amazing. Great for him and really great for the team. Very good person. Solid player. I never thought that would happen. Enjoy your weekend."
That's the text I sent you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh. But the biggest thing is that I sent you another note. Did you get that one?
Oh.
"I'm coming to Tromla."
Oh, no.
I'll send you the exact dates, but we'll be there.
I want to drink wine. I want to drink wine with Mario.
Well, he probably is listening. So just invite yourself over.
Yeah, okay. I'll just crash Mario's place.
He usually listens to you when he's driving through Montreal or at this time of the day. He does. There you go.
Greatest player not named Bobby Orr.
You got it right on. All right, so we'll talk.
Until Gretzky
talk
comes on the
on.
Show.
I'll text you again with some dates.
Thank you, Pierre.
Have a good one. My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you, guys. Merci.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
And the ESPY goes to...
Be a part of sports' biggest...